dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind. It's time for Mark DiValenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark DiValenti, and this is Brain Burrow. This is one of our Digging Deep sessions where we have an opportunity to talk with our guest, and they have a chance to share about their own perspective on their life journey, what they value, what they fear, what they want to do, what they don't want to do. And then you have an opportunity as the listener and viewer to decide how it relates to you. So I'm extremely pleased to have on the show today Joe Gonsalves, who I've had an opportunity to work with on multiple different platforms when it comes to podcasting. We've had many conversations, so I'm very much looking forward to digging deep with her. So with that, I want to hand it over to Joe with a big open-ended question. Who exactly is Joe Gonsalves?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm Joe Gonsalves. I'm a podcast host, an actress, a model, director, human. I'm pretty sure I'm human. I think everyone's human.
Maybe. Okay. Well, so let's go from there, right? Because, you know, again, everybody answers that question differently. And that was actually the shortest answer I think I've ever received. So it's interesting. So podcasting, right? That's how I met you. What's that all about? Like, why do you do it? I mean, because that's something that everybody gets into. So, you know, what motivates you?
Well, I got into it through people I met through work. They asked me to, you know, if I'd ever, you know, done shows or anything before. And I was like, no. And they pulled me on to do like a true crime, kind of like an all around kind of show where, you know, talk about the occult, horror movies, serial killers, things like that. And after a couple years, I decided that, you know, I really enjoy doing this so much. And there's so much that I want to talk about that I decided to do one on my own and kind of, you know, play on my own terms, if you will, and just see if I could do it, you know, because when I joined a network that, you know, kind of went by not necessarily their rules, but their outline, their setup, on their terms, basically. And I wanted to do it myself and see if I could do it, you know, like, it, I don't know, for some people, it looks very easy. So,
well, is it easy for you?
I think it's easy. I think it's fun. I think it's a lot of fun. And I think that's what makes it kind of easy for me. On top of being able to do what it is that I want to do, to have control over, you know, my topics, what I want to talk about, who I want to have on, the adventures that I want to go on, how I want to be seen and how I want to be, I hate using this word, but branded, if you will. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's fun. That's what makes it easy for me. I mean, there are times where it's kind of like, I'm really tired. I've had a really long week. There's a lot of stuff going on. So that's the times where for me, it makes it a little hard is to get myself into like, okay, stop dragging your ass. Come on. You've got a commitment that you've made. You've got to do it. So sometimes that makes it a little hard for me, but I try my best to do it. So,
yeah, and that's extremely insightful. And, you know, you talk about, I was going to ask you, what gets you through those times, right? Because as you know, on this show, people try to see parts of themselves as they're watching and listening. And I'm sure a lot of people out there often feel the same way as you do. Oh, if like doing this, I'm dragging, but yet they push themselves through. So how do you do that? I mean, you said it's kind of reminding yourself you have a commitment, but it can't be just that. I mean, how do you do that, Joe?
Well, not just the commitment, I guess. Maybe that was another short answer, I suppose. But it's the fact that I enjoy doing what I do, and I enjoy the people who decide that they want to take a chance on my show and take a chance on me, if you will, and getting to know me and the interactions. I've made a lot of friends. I've met a lot of people. I've been a lot of places. And it's very rewarding. So it's just reminding myself that, you know, this, I really enjoy this. I want to talk to people, and that's what makes me like, you know, go do it. It's good. It feels good for me to talk to other people. So sometimes I can't shut up.
No, first of all, that's a fantastic answer. And again, you can say as much or as little as you want to on the show. It is up to you, as always. So I guess it brings up another question. You know, I like to ask lots of questions. In fact, I think you've called me out on that before. My question.
No, I love it.
No, it's, well, good. I'm glad that now I'm getting a chance to ask them all of you directly, you know. You talk about other people getting to know you, and you know, clearly you're somebody, and I've appreciated even talking with you about things and connecting. And you know, again, as I mentioned before, you're one of the reasons why I thought, okay, she seems to have a good time doing these podcasts. Maybe that's something I want to do as well. So you're, again, I wasn't kidding when I said that you're one of the people that made me start thinking about this. So thank you for inspiring me.
Well, thank you for going through with it, because I love hearing when people, you know, say things like that and they go out and do it and they succeed at it. You know, and you have very much succeeded. And I mean, I know you haven't been doing this very long, but your numbers are outstanding. The people that you have on, like, you have amazing guests. And I just, it makes me feel good. Not because, you know, I'm not like taking credit for anything, don't get me wrong, but it makes me feel good that in some way I was like a part of that, and to see your growth and your success. I love it so much.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, that says a lot as a human being, that you're able to look at other people's success and say, okay, that's great. That's outstanding. And I mention that not lightly, Joe, because a lot of people, especially in the business that we're in, look at other people's success and say, ugh, what's going on with that? Why can't I do this? So, Joe, how are you able to come to that? You know, I know it's not just with me either, because I see you talk positively about a lot of people. Mm-hmm. How are you able to adopt that mindset? Because it's that in of itself is inspiring.
When I was younger, I was very much in the opposite mindset. Like, I was always very like, why do you get that and I don't? Like, that's not fair. Like, I do this too. And like, immature mindset. And I think just having different experiences with different people and being around different people who had more of a mature started making me realize, hey, you know, I need to back up. I need to chill and rethink things. You know, it's not always, it shouldn't always be so negative. You know, you should be happy for other people, because you want people to be happy for you too when you do things. It feels kind of crappy when people are like, ugh, towards you. So why be that way towards other people? You know, it just negativity breeds more negativity. I want to live a very positive, healthy life. So it's just, it's kind of hard to explain, I guess, but getting yourself in the mindset that you shouldn't be so negative, that it's okay. You know, if you're not happy with something that's going on in your life, you need to look at it and reevaluate what's going on and figure out how to make it better, because really at the end of the day, your choices and your decisions are on you, not other people. What happens in your life is usually something that you are doing, whether it's right or wrong, and not someone else. So I think that answered your question.
It does. Of course it does. And I think that's it, right? It does start from yourself, and you can choose if you want to live a positive life or focus on the negatives. And there's something called the accountability ladder, which I'll put a link to if you may be familiar with it. I don't know. And it basically uses our language, right? High on the accountability ladder are things like, oh, okay, I screwed that up, but I can work on it. Or, you know, I'm responsible for this. Here's what I can do differently. Low on the accountability ladder is, no one ever told me about that. Or, huh, why is that happening? Or, everything happens to me, woe is me. And I hear you talking, and you're very high on the accountability ladder, taking responsibility for your own emotions. So again, it sounds like you, over time, as we all, and when we're younger, struggle with that, but over time you've learned to kind of take control over your life, basically.
Oh, I don't know about all that, but you know, as far as that goes.
I would say you are, and I know you're always very modest whenever we talk, so I'm not surprised that that's your answer to that. Well, so then I guess that brings up another question too. What exactly else do you want to work on about yourself, Joe? I mean, because you've come so far, you've made changes. What else do you think you want to work on?
Honestly, I want to work on being a little more outgoing than I actually have a lot of anxiety. Like, even coming on, I mean, I've spoken with you millions of times, I still get a lot of anxiety, and I'm very nervous when I go to talk to people, even though I've met them, talked to them a million times. To relax and work on not to worry about so much. It's going to be okay. You're not going to bite me. You're not going to crucify me. It's going to be okay. So,
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I'm not going to do either of those two things, but it's interesting, right? Because if people are, I kind of alluded to this, if people are looking at you, they're like, Joe's always outgoing, Joe's always talking, Joe's already there. So it's an interesting, switch behind what's going on behind the scenes versus what's you're putting out there. So you still chose to do this, though, right? You're still choosing to push through your anxiety. How are you able to do that? Because there's a lot of people that have anxiety, social anxiety, who choose not to do it. So how are you able to make the choice and do that and do what you do?
Well, it's not easy. That's one of the things that's not easy, at least for me, doing podcasts. Because, like I said, you get times it's the anxiety, especially when I'm tired, the anxiety gets a little higher. It's a little harder to manage. I just do it. I try very hard to challenge myself. So I just try to push as much as I can. Just get myself a pep talk, take a couple breaths, hurry up and do it. Because once you push that go live button, that's it. You've already committed yourself.
Yeah, I mean, this show is, as you know, is pre-recorded, so there's a sense of buffer there. You do your show live, and you get the sense that even though you've done this a few times, you still have a little bit of certain feelings when you do that, when you push that button to go live, even though you've done this so many times already.
Oh yeah, I definitely have anxiety every day that I go on. Even when I have friends that I've known for 20 years, I have a guest every once in a while that I've literally known for 20 years, and I still get anxiety when they come on. It's just like I don't know why I do. I just do. So, but I just push the button and go. So I have no going back. I don't know. I like to put myself in those situations where I don't have a choice but to do it, and that's how I get myself to do it. So,
Yeah, and again, you still choose to do it. So, and I think that in and of itself is commendable, because again, it's still always your choice, and that's commendable, Joe. I'm going to ask you probably a more uncomfortable question.
okay.
What? Don't worry, it's nothing crazy or anything, but it's something that may be uncomfortable for you. What is it that you feel that you do well?
Ooh. Go to work every day on time and never late. So, except for that one time I slept in on accident.
Okay.
I
So
guess punctuality, I guess, is the
you
one
tell
thing
me,
I'm
you
good
tell
at.
me. Okay. So
Yeah,
what
I
is that?
get
What?
just punctuality.
Okay. So what? All right, we're going to dig a little deeper there. What is punctuality? Okay, that's sort of superficial, but what is that? Like, why is that important? Why did you choose that topic to say you were good at that?
I don't know. I guess I don't like disappointing people, honestly. Like,
Okay.
so if I'm committed to something like a job or, a show or something, I don't ever want to be late. Although there has been plenty of times on my show beyond my control that I have been late, but it drives me insane to be late. It really does. Like, if I've always grown up with that, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're 15 minutes late mentality. So it's just, I don't know, the anxiety pushes on me more for things like that. So I'm just like, I have to do it, I have to do it, I have to do it. Make sure you're on time, don't be late, don't let people down, kind of do. I mean, it happens, human, it happens. But I try very hard not to do those things. So that's probably one of the best things I'm good at.
Okay, so being punctual is something you're good at, but it's not just about being punctual, it's the idea of making sure that you follow through with commitments that you've made to people, which is the actual strength there behind
Okay. I'll take
that. Why do
that.
you, well, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about if you make a promise to somebody that you're reliable and you follow through with commitments? I mean, how do you feel like identifying that as your strength?
It
The
sounds good
ability
to me.
to.
I'm
So. You're
horrible.
not horror. Again, no right or wrong answers. Who knows where the conversations go? But I wonder, Joe, why is it sometimes hard for you to accept positive comments or compliments or affirmations about yourself?
I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
So,
Then I guess the flip side of that is there ever a time when you do feel comfortable receiving positive comments or focusing on your positive attributes?
I honestly don't know how to answer that question. I don't know. I hope for some reason I always get uncomfortable with positive stuff. I honestly don't know why. Maybe because I was such a negative person before. Maybe I feel guilty about accepting things like that. I don't know. But it's, I don't know. It just, it feels weird when people comment to me. It's like, why? Why?
Well, so. For saying that you don't know why, it seems like you've identified possibly why. You know, about there's a certain level of guilt involved with that.
Maybe. It's possible, senor.
And so let's talk about the humor part of things, right? Because you do that, and you do it well, by the way. People respond to you, people like you, because I've seen it happen whenever you're humorous about things. So how are you able to craft that art of humor and use it effectively as you do?
It's just very quick. It just flies out of my mouth. I have no control over it half the time. So, and it's worse if I've had, you know, a cocktail or two. Not worse. It's better if I've had a cocktail or two.
Okay. So believe it or not, you just identified another possible strength of yours, which is your ability to be quick-witted and being able to respond socially to a situation where other people may struggle with that. I know it's hard to get. You did it. Hey, thank you. That's perfect.
Thank you.
All right.
I didn't say sorry this time.
You did not. You did not. And I think that's an interesting point, right? When I was on your show, geez, last October, I think it was last time, you know, that was something that came up. So, and since then, to your point, because you've called yourself out, you've moved away from saying sorry. So what's that about? What happened? What's different? And what have you been thinking about? And how have you been able to change your behavior?
Honestly, I don't honestly know how much better it's gotten, but it was when you were on my show, because a lot of people say that to me. And then when you had said it to me, it, for some reason, it really snapped in my brain. It's like, man, I really do need to stop doing that so much. I think in some ways it makes me seem maybe weak. I don't know if that's maybe too harsh of a word. I'm not sure, but it, I don't know. Like, I do need to stop saying sorry so much, because a lot of times there is no need for me to say sorry. There's nothing to be sorry about. And it just, it just comes out. It just, I don't know. It's just like an, not an instinct, just a natural reaction just all the time. And I do need to watch that a lot. So, cause like I said, there's a lot of times there is no freaking reason for me to say sorry. So.
That's right.
But
yeah. Yeah. Thank you for talking about that for a minute. And you're right, because there, you know, the things that most of us apologize for are just us being human, and things come up, you know, and if you're not hurting somebody or hurting somebody's property or making somebody feel purposefully bad or even accidentally bad, there's no reason, right? Sorry is meant to, again, we talked about this, right? If you hurt somebody in some way, you're above them because, you know, you've taken something from them. A true apology is meant to even out the playing field. And to your point, most of the time, you've not done this to somebody. In fact, if anything, Joe, I see you lifting people up a lot with your conversations.
Oh, well, thank you. I enjoy people. So.
Yeah, no, I know you do. So, and I think, you know, I want to talk more about the future. So what is in the future for you? Where do you see yourself? And this sounds like a job interview question, and it is not.
I know.
But it's like, yes, where do you see yourself as your, but yeah, I'm very curious, like, because you've done so much already. You've made, in spite of anxiety especially, you've actually done really well in an environment where it depends on a lot of interaction. So where do you see yourself moving forward?
Hopefully, I don't know, hopefully in more than just my home. Okay. I'm trying to venture out more, and I want to film a lot more. I want to travel. I want to show everybody stuff that they may not know exists out there, and introduce them to people they may not know are out there. Kind of like what I do with my show, like bringing a lot of indie people on and sharing them, you know, on my platforms, for people who may or may not know that they're out there. So just adventure time.
Yeah. I mean, and you've been a tremendous magnifying glass for a lot of people who see your show and see people on the show. See your genuineness of wanting them to succeed, and it's allowed people to get additional exposure. So you've been doing a lot of that. Yeah. And so, and then we talk about the future and kind of venturing out. And I want to talk about the film, because I know that you were talking about filming, and I know that, and if you want to talk about it, because I think that's an interesting topic. of the project you're working on. I think it's actually pretty fascinating. But it sounds like moving forward, you want to venture out, do more of the connecting people, get more people exposed and network. And you're actually helping people network, I think, and that's extremely important. So talk about the film. Talk more about this project that you've been working on, please.
It's called Lore. It is a a Christmas horror anthology based off of Icelandic holiday tales, pretty much, because we get a lot of our Christmas, if you will, from other folklore and all that. And we've kind of just bastardized it and made it our own kind of thing. Like Santa Claus did not wear red. He used to wear blue. Coca-Cola bought it out and changed it red. We've done whatever we wanted to with holidays. But it's kind of a modern telling of the Icelandic Christmas holiday. And the different, there's different stories that I picked with it. I picked, like, the Yule Cat. Which goes that it's like a little demon cat. It goes out, and if you didn't get new clothes for Christmas, or you didn't get new garb for Christmas, the Yule Cat would snatch you up and take you back to the Christmas witch, basically, to eat. So these are all Icelandic holiday stories. Yeah, so a bunch of them. I mean, there's these guys called the Yule Lads. There's 12 of them. They kind of remind me of Snow White and dwarves, because they're kind of like the dwarves, but they all have different things that they do that makes them, you know, mischievous and evil, if you will. Like, you know, if you kid, one will come and leave like a potato in your shoe, and there's another one will come and eat your dirty dish, you know, the crumbs out of your dirty dishes. If you just, you know, a bunch of crazy stuff. And like I said, you know, there's a Christmas witch basically in there that eats children that have been naughty. So I'm just taking different of their folklore and just turning it into three little short stories and putting it together as one film. There was some delay because of COVID and everything that was happening, because I started it last November and it was supposed to be out at Christmas. That didn't happen, obviously. So, you know, indie film, things happen. So now that things are opening back up, you know, people are more willing and able to be around, you know, each other more. I picked production back up and I reshot one of the main scenes. I'm getting ready to shoot a bunch of the little stuff, the little, you know, crap stuff that goes in different places. And then I'm going to pick back up on the other two big ones and then get it the hell over with. So...
Well, yeah, I mean, I imagine, you know, having, like you said, having it there unfinished for so long is probably maddening in some ways.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's very interesting. And I didn't even know about the Yule Cat. And again, it just sounds like such a cool thing. And again, especially for the horror community who may be listening or watching this, it's like, oh, I want to hear more about that. So that's really freaking cool. But so, you know, my next question is, so what inspired you to do that? What was your motivation for telling these stories specifically?
I wanted to see a different kind of Christmas horror movie. I mean, basically the Christmas horror movies that I've seen, it's all been, you know, an evil Santa Claus that comes and kills you. The end. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to, or, you know, it's the ginger dead man or some crazy weird stuff like that, which, you know, it's cool because it's different, but I just wanted to do something. It, you know, somebody else might have had the idea somewhere else or something similar. I don't know. I've never seen it, never heard of it, but I wanted to try to do something different. Killer Santa Claus deal. So.
Right. Or Krampus, who seems to be like, there's like 10 million movies about Krampus, the, you know, as well. So yeah, so this is definitely different. And that's really, really cool. I guess another question I have for you is you have this unfinished project, right? Something which, again, you're passionate about, but now you're at a point like, okay, I just need to get this done. I mean, how does that feel to have this unfinished project in production sort of sitting out there?
I have anxiety because I was to have it in, you know, like I said, at Christmas time in December, I have people who've supported the movie financially, or just supported the movie by being around and helping their time, which, you know, to me, that's worth something, you know, And just to not have it done, it really, it bums me out and it makes me kind of feel like I let people down a little bit. Although I know people in the, you know, community, they understand because it, you know, it didn't just happen to me. It's happened to a lot of other people. We've all had to come up with creative ways to get things done the best we could get them done. But I didn't do it that way. Like, I need to be out and in places, like physical locations that was kind of difficult to get to before.
Sure.
You know, I just want to get it done. And I don't want to get it done quick and, you know, do a sloppy job at it because I don't want people to go, oh, well, this, what did I support? You know, to see that I did take time into it and that I, you know, I did have a care for it.
Sure.
But at the same time, I just really want to get it done and get it out to people who've been waiting on it. So.
And it actually goes back to what you said earlier in the conversation is one of the things that motivates you is supporting others or maybe not disappointing others. And it seems like part of this motivation is making sure you're not disappointing those other people.
I hate doing that.
Right. When do you take time for yourself? You spend so much time and energy, you know, looking out for other people, trying to support other people and network, help other people network. And when do you take time to take care of yourself?
I like doing what I do. To me, it's fulfilling to me. So I guess I don't really ever think about like that I'm not taking care of myself.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. There's a couple of different definitions, right? Burnout is whenever you are doing something that you don't feel passionate about, that you don't like to do. In other words, if I spent an hour a day entering data into a computer, it's not something I want to do. I could get burned out from that hour a day. But I may spend 10 hours a day working on the podcast or doing something else and not get burned out. What I'm hearing from you, you can get fatigue from just the amount of hours you're working, even if it's something you like. But from what I'm hearing from you is, you actually, this is how you're getting your energized, your battery refilled, is by doing all this stuff and helping other people and connecting with other people.
Absolutely. I do have a, I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure, maybe, been on a stage and you've ever had to like speak or do a play or anything like or perform in front of people, you get that like adrenaline rush, and then when you're done, like lights are off, you exit the stage and you still have that like going in you, like that's what I feel at the, even though I come in with total and complete anxiety and just mumble mush mouth sometimes for the first 5 to 10 minutes, at the end of it I am very like charged and I'm very pumped, and I could, if I wanted to, I could go run around the block if I wanted to, because it's still setting in me. I have to like really sit and calm myself down and disconnect myself, I guess, from being done with the show. And now I'm home, now I'm Joe, now I've got, you know, a family and a home to take care of and relax.
That was a wonderful answer, by the way. It was because I think you made a great connection that a lot of people struggle with, which is these anxious moments, especially in social situations. I think the stage is a great specific analogy for that. Getting through it, feeling energized, and then afterwards being able to almost compartmentalize.
Right. Thank you.
Now, this is a time when I would make some kind of random reference and say, any last words, Joe? But, you know, that's your show. But I do want to ask you the question, what do you want people to walk away with after listening to you, after viewing you during this podcast? What do you want people to walk away with thinking about Joe Gonsalves?
Maybe I'm a safe space. It's okay to come over here.
That's a great answer. So what does that mean, safe space? Okay to come over there?
You know, I'm not going to, I'll tease you and I'll give you a little bit of a hard time, but I don't mean anything by it. I'm a very open person. I enjoy it when people are open with me. I like it when people are comfortable around me. You can be comfortable around me. It's totally fine, guys. judge you, because there's no reason in judging people. You know, everybody has their own struggles that they have to go through and deal with. That's part of life, even though it's all different for everyone. You just come on. It's cool. You can come over here. This is a safe place. I'm not going to judge you. We can all be friends. We can all get along. We can all have fun.
And I think, again, for as many times when this conversation's gone, you're like, oh, I don't know the answer to that. You have a great answer, by the way. And that's a fantastic answer. You want people to walk away with that. So thank you for sharing that. And Joe, I do want to thank you again for coming on the show today. Again, you have been a great collaborator on many different things. And like I said, inspirational for the work you've done. So I just want to thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you for having me on. I was really like, oh, yay, I want to go on Brain Burrow. This is going to be great. I like acting with you. You are like one of, we kind of reflect. That's probably the wrong word. Bounce off of each other pretty well, I feel. Yeah. So
yes,
it's always a good time.
It is. I appreciate that. So yes, I really do appreciate interacting with you. And this has been no exception. So thanks for that.
So, thank you.
No, my pleasure. All right. So I want to, of course, thank all the listeners and viewers out there who were tuned in today. And on behalf of Joe Gonsalves, I mispronounced your last name. So on behalf
Damn
of
it.
Joe Gonsalves, this is Brain Burrow and Digging Deep. So thank you and have an amazing rest of your day.
Thank you.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram at @ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.